Hey, everybody. Welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There. We are a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson. I'm a stand-up comedian and the host of the aforementioned podcast. And alongside me in our studio slash the south, excuse me.
Directions.
The due east corner, not corner, the due east wall of our daughter's bedroom slash our recording studio is my lovely wife and co-host, Melissa Nickerson.
Hi there.
Hello, all of you on this. We are recording on winter solstice.
Yeah.
The darkest day of the year.
Mm-hmm.
2020 has been the winter solstice of years.
Absolutely.
The longest, darkest year.
Mm-hmm.
Fair?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The winter solstice of years. But if you're listening to this on Tuesday, things are already starting to get brighter. Child. The days are going to get brighter.
Nice.
Child, the vaccine's here. Child, I hope people take the vaccine. Child, otherwise it's not going to get brighter. I wrote that 4 days ago. That's not true. That was improv, guys. I'm a very skilled improviser.
Wow.
Wow. Welcome to our little podcast that could. We appreciate you guys chiming in. We're almost here at the end of the year. For those of you that celebrate Christmas, this is Christmas week. Melissa, something snapped in her this morning.
Yes.
She was a different woman this morning. Mm-hmm. Last night, we stayed up late. Had a couple of LaCroix, enjoyed, you know, an evening where everybody was home, like most of the evenings. and then today, you were like...
Busy bee?
You were like a bat shot out of a cannon. You were out, and you were just bouncing off the walls. You were clean, bouncing off the now cleaner walls.
They're a little bit cleaner.
A little bit cleaner. Melissa cleans the walls annually.
Yes.
And
a couple of the blinds.
And a
you know, you have to prioritize.
Yes. And that does a nice job of introducing what we're talking about today, which is Christmas traditions or holiday traditions, whatever it may be that you celebrate. That's great that you celebrate that. One of them, we're going to talk about our childhood ones. We're going to talk about some of the things that we do as a family now. We're going to talk a little bit about how that's changed, you know, obviously with, I don't know if you're familiar with COVID. I don't know if you've heard about it. It's making a lot of headway. It's a real up and comer of a disease.
Yes.
So it's got a bright future. Somebody had this tweet. It was very funny. See if I
dare
can find
I say
it
viral.
Viral.
No,
you're right. No, I like that. Somebody said, let me see if I can find it. It was very funny. I don't know if I liked it, but it was a funny thing about vaccines and how much they and how they love them because you know, a vaccine is not a cure. It's like, you know, they put a dead version of it in you.
And your body fights
it. And your body's like, the vaccine, COVID gets in, and it's like, oh, they've killed this before. And it's
right.
It's essentially telling, like, COVID, like, we've murdered before. We are crazy.
Yeah.
This body is insane that you just walked into, which is pretty wild. Yeah, because it's not a cure, exactly. But, you know.
Yeah, your body has to attack it. Yeah.
And if people don't take it, I get it. I understand why you don't want to be controlled.
You don't want to.
I get it.
Get in the stock cart.
I get it. The one that the army one that we sent of the military guy saying all the vaccines he got was so funny.
That was so good.
I showed that to Mike Vinn, Marine Mike Vinn, and Air Force Stephen English, and we all had a laugh. He's like, they're like, no, that's both like that. You just line up, and they're like, dish, 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 dish.
Actually, we actually kind of had to do that as kids, even.
Oh,
yeah, we go to our elementary school. And we had like a three rounder.
You're saying military?
Yeah.
Okay.
On the Air Force Base in Japan.
Yeah,
and it wasn't
boom, boom, boom.
It wasn't through our pediatrician. They just gave them out at the.
There was just the. It was just the recess lady.
We'd walk to the cafeteria.
Yeah.
Yeah. And my sister would be crying the whole way.
Now, who's more qualified to give shots? The recess lady at the school or you giving my dad IV injections last spring?
Well, both have happened.
Both equal a level of unqualified.
I think they had nurses in there.
Yeah.
But I did like 20 IVs for Dawn.
Yeah.
You know?
Shout out.
Home health care.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
2019 wasn't all that great.
I think it was 2018.
Oh, it was 2 years ago?
I don't know.
3 years ago? Well,
it'd be like a year and a half ago because it was like it was like June.
Mm.
A year and a half ago.
It doesn't matter. Guys,
it was a special time.
One of Melissa's current holiday traditions is not vaccines. It's an annual clean.
Cleaning the walls.
Now, you clean a lot. You sweep.
Yeah, I do a lot of the daily stuff. I don't do a ton of deep cleaning.
Here's when I see the mop out, I go, oh, the mop's out. Like it's rare enough.
Yeah, I did. I will buy a lot of mops.
Yeah.
And be like, this is going to make me mop.
Right.
I got this new one.
I got this one. It takes the turns better.
Yeah. So I do have a steam mop now.
Plenty of cleaning, though. I mean, listen.
But I hype myself with new mops.
Every day, all the surfaces get wiped down. You hype yourself with new mops. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
All the surfaces get wiped down. The dishes get done.
We're not clean.
We sweep. Yeah.
But like under the bed,
the vacuum, the rug gets vacuumed most days.
Yeah, we.
The kids' room gets vacuumed every 3 to 4 days, you know. But the walls, I would say that you do maybe the floors like once a month. Like
I try.
Yeah, in theory.
Yeah, well, the same with sheets. You're like, oh.
Sheets are a tricky one. Sheets, because sheets only affect you.
The person sleeping in
them. And you know, I don't care because I was raised without sheets.
Yes.
My dad did not give two sheets.
You and grandma's comfort, or what do they call it? Quilts.
I'm enjoying my own sheets joke there. We had a quilt on a foam pad. So I'm like,
times like this, that being your wife is
piece of cake.
So easy.
So easy. Yeah. Yeah. And I never had a piece of cake. We didn't have. That's not true. We had plenty of cake. There were always sweets around.
Multiple cakes.
Yeah. It's very. My dad is. He has decided that it's time to cut back salt, which is funny because he's almost 70, and he's like, "Now's the time." But you know.
Well, he's kind of getting educated as he goes.
Yeah, and it's very funny. He's just like. He like bought a bunch of cookies and he's like, well, they don't have salt in them. I mean, that's fair. However, you're just replacing salt for sugar. This is just going to create you a different set of problems.
He made a joke and then he was like, it's going to take me a while to figure out what I should be eating instead of like cured, you know, meats.
He told me about that and he didn't realize how much salt there was. And then for probably 20 minutes while you were gone, we both just like talked about how much we love salami.
Yeah.
And, like it turned into like a poem about salami, like a love fest.
Yeah.
And, and it followed right behind pastrami and pepperoni. All the omis and ronis. So good.
So good.
And real bad for you.
Yes.
Ends up cured meats that can just...
That you just pull out of the bag and eat. Yeah. You don't have to do anything.
It's up there with beef jerky. So
it's cut up beef jerky.
But this is a nice...
That's not teriyaki flavored.
But one of the things that is a holiday tradition in the Nickerson household is a box of cured meats. Am I saying that like cured, you know, like cure? Yeah.
It's like processed.
Processed meats.
Yep.
And cheeses and chocolates. And Aunt Jessica sent us, this is it. So when that came, we would always have a version of that in our house, which is just here's a bunch of salami.
And
here's a bunch of sausage.
Yep. We used to have one too in my house. It was the Pepperidge Farms.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the mainstream one.
It's here.
It's very exciting. And our kids are, you know who's eating the most of it, I think?
The teens.
Gloria.
The tweens.
The tweens. Gloria's hitting it hard. Gloria will just eat like a small block of smoked Gouda. She's like, it's so good. I was like, I mean, I don't think you should be eating that much straight cheese. She's like, it's so creamy. She was saying, guys, she's like, I've never had cheese this creamy before.
I know. I'm like, Joel, is that like your fifth hot chocolate today?
Joel's been hitting the Hochos so hard. Yeah, he treats it like we treat coffee, which is you just kind of have it.
Just like a warm drink.
Just steadily throughout the day. And you're like that. You know who else does that? My grandpa.
Yeah, he
my grandpa wasn't a coffee drinker. And every once in a while, my grandpa would drink hot chocolate multiple times a day. And he had the old Swiss Miss. He'd have the can of it. And you just scoop it up. And yeah. And I'm pretty sure he would have it with milk, too. Because my grandpa is a milk drinker.
Mm-hmm.
He drinks a glass of milk before bed, which is
so gross.
It's absolute psycho behavior. This is one of the kindest, most gentle, most loving men I had. The idea.
He's like pees all night.
He'd take a hot tub.
He's 88.
He takes a hot tub with his wife, 18 years younger. The younger.
You pass out all the heat and then a full glass of milk.
And then Larry and Cookie head to bed.
A chocolatey, maybe.
Maybe a chocolatey. And then sometimes in the morning, he would take a little of Cookie's coffee. Cookie is my grandma. Cookie's coffee and put it in his hot chocolate when he needed the extra boost of actual caffeine.
It's amazing.
This is my lineage. This is where I come from. So when you think, though.
We got the box of meats.
We got the box of meats. That was one of the first questions I was going to ask you was when you think of holiday snacks and sweets in and around your childhood home and in and around our home, what do you think of? I think of the Pepperidge for sure, or some version of that off-brand, maybe a high-end one. And Aunt Jessica, my sister, sent us a nice one.
Super nice, and we videotaped.
Which is very funny.
The kids presenting it to Grandpa.
And then when they opened the chocolates, we all had about five chocolates.
Well, yeah, you guys.
The chocolates were gone almost instantly. Don't act like you're on some high ground. Listen, you just waited till I was putting the kids down and then hit your 67% dark cocos or whatever.
I know. If I'm going to have a little chocolate, I like to have it late at night.
Yeah, and you like it as dark as possible. You like the winter solstice of chocolates.
I mean, I could eat a jar of almond butter every day. You know those bars that they have at the grocery store in the refrigerated section?
Aren't they called like the perfect bar, or what are they called? Some amazing bar, or what are they called?
I don't remember
the name.
You don't
even know what
they
are. You just know it's
a peanut butter bar.
You just know their feel and scent.
It's just, yeah.
When they're near you, you get so bewildered, you can't even read the title. You're just so focused on.
It's like, oh my gosh, it's a peanut butter
bar. Let me devour this piece.
It's almond butter in somewhat solid form.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was not.
That's my favorite thing.
That
ever.
Wasn't was that a holiday thing with you? What were you pounding? Because like what I think of in addition to the Pepperidge Farms is my dad would take a mason jar. And this is back before they were cool. We just had big mason jars.
Well, because your grandma canned.
Yeah, and mason jar with the lid thing. You know, the little weird lid with the clasps.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'd had those. We had a bunch of we'd have those. And he would fill them up with candy. He would fill them up with Rolos, and he would fill them up with Hershey Kisses. Mm-hmm. And then if we were lucky, he would splurge on like the little candy bar ones. But because there's that, you know, like the Mr. Good bars, but they would put out the Christmas wrap. Our kids had that for the first time the other day. They didn't really remember like how good a Mr. Good bar was. Very underrated candy bar. Only, for whatever reason, only consumed in the mini form.
I think it's just too much.
I mean, it's just
a big bar.
It's nothing more than a Hershey's or a Butterfinger.
Yeah, I know. I just think it's just peanuts and like
why
chocolate.
Can you only get a Crackle and a Mr. Good bar? You can only get it in mini form.
I don't know.
Have you ever seen a full size Mr. Good bar for sale?
No.
No, not in this century or the previous. Maybe in 1802.
Yeah.
When they made all of them that year.
Maybe like a fundraiser box.
Yeah.
Dollar candy bars.
The fundraiser box always had the most random candies.
Yeah.
Sometimes they would just be named the flavor. They'd be like, this one's caramel.
Yeah.
This is the caramel bar.
You I remember in high school, it'd be like 7:30 in the morning in science, and we'd be eating, we'd be eating those fundraiser candy bars. Like the ROTC always had them.
<You're> like, yeah, but it's fine. You were going to go run 8 miles that day.
Yeah.
You'd be just fine.
The highest metabolism.
If we ate one of those, it would be in our system for 90 days.
Yeah.
It will take me till mid-March to flush out everything that I'm consuming over the next 2 weeks and the previous week and the 3 weeks before that, before Thanksgiving.
Just the holidays.
And the 4 weeks before that from Halloween. It takes till May for us to get it all out of our system.
Yeah.
Whatever is in the vaccine, it's not worse.
We know we have
like
a week left.
Than what I have put in my system since then. It's like I had one night where I probably ate 40 pieces of our kids' candy. For after Halloween, like just kind of like I just didn't stop. I poured it out on the table and I don't know that I even lifted my head. I just, as I ate,
eyes on the price,
as I ate the one, I would be
opening the next,
surveying. You're right. No, as I was chewing one, I would be opening the next while surveying who was in the hole, which is a baseball term. I had the batter in my mouth, the on deck in my hands, and then surveying.
You were ready.
Who's up next? So what did you guys have around the house, though? What would the Hoaglands have? Like a bag of nuts? What did you guys have? Did you guys chop up some carrots? Huh? Really splurge with some? Huh?
When my mom started teaching, when my sisters were in high school, we had the works. Do you know what I mean? We'd get like 12 plates of homemade cookies.
Mm.
You know?
That's right. You guys are a cookie family.
Yeah. So.
Oh, you're saying that.
I'm saying it was gifted we had to you guys. So many gifted plates of cookies.
Right. Because.
Once she started teaching.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, when you have a teacher in the home, that makes sense. You're getting a bunch of stuff.
It's a bunch of random.
Huge perk.
Usually it's edible.
In addition to not working in the summers.
Stop. I mean, she was working
off
at a private school. It's not like she was getting paid the big bucks.
No.
You know. Anyway, all I'm saying.
Would that mean she
paid
more than public school, though? I don't
know. No, private school teachers don't make as much.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I'm not trying to, you know.
We've made our stance very clear here.
Yeah.
Very pro teacher.
We're pro teachers.
Very pro teacher.
So that was, I remember that. My mom's a big pecan pie maker.
Oh, praise the Lord, she is.
You love
it
so much.
Yeah.
So we have it. And sometimes I don't make a dessert on Christmas because like there's like candy in the stockings. You know, and we do cinnamon rolls in
Kinder Joys. Our kids don't like Kinder Joys. They just like saying
Kinder Joy. Yeah, so we have to get those.
Especially the 13-year-old at full volume. Kinder Joy!
It's so loud.
Kinder
I know.
Joy.
We
donkey.
Oh my gosh!
My 13-year-old boy just yells out random words. Nature.
Yeah. This week of Christmas, when you're trying plus COVID, you're like, hey, you can't really like see all your friends. Mm-hmm. You know, like we're gonna see grandma. You know, so we're trying to limit. We got grandpa in the house.
Grandma's still
COVID's,
TBD.
Really bad right now in San Diego.
As you guys know, everything is like, I mean, maybe that'll happen, you know?
Oh, yeah. So we're like, hey, you don't have school. You don't work. You can't really see your friends. You can't do anything dangerous, so dangerous that you could go to the ER.
Right.
Because it's full.
Right.
And
yes.
So he's just screaming at the top of his lungs indoors.
Yes.
And pounding hot chocolates.
Earlier, he's coping like we are.
And he jumped off the roof.
Well, I was going to say. So, yeah. You know, earlier this
week. Our hands are tied.
We do an annual trip to Big Bear, which I didn't even think would potentially get canceled because it's not holiday travel, really, in the sense that we make no stops. It's like our house to the cabin, and it's not a shared cabin.
Completely isolated.
It's completely isolated. It's at a campground.
We bring our food up in a cooler.
It's essentially us going from here to an unoccupied house and back. And
yeah, there's a deadlock or, you know, like a key lock on the door.
Yeah, it's exactly. Yeah. So it's we don't interact with anybody. We make our own meals. We go and play in the snow. No big deal. But it, Big Bear shut down all like tourism.
Yes.
Like, so, which is so devastating. You so feel Airbnbs, so bad. Yeah, for hotels. The business owners up in there. And I mean, we know because we go to Big Bear a lot. And, you know, those like businesses, like they rely on the holidays, know? And I know that they, you know, outdoor dining and stuff wasn't even going to be in the cards for them. But like for them to be missing like a skiing season or people being able to come up there is brutal.
Now, there is a caveat. If you're a homeowner or you own a timeshare.
Yeah. You can you go can to yours because it's yours. Yeah. And I get that.
Yeah.
I get that. And it's annoying it's annoying because it's a lot of these other things that still are like, hey, do you have money? Your life can still be normal.
If you can own a vacation home and pay for private school, then you things might be fine.
Things are totally normal.
But you can still get COVID.
I know. I hope you just like one of the things that you're just like about the vaccine is like, I went on a pretty lengthy rant about this on Twitter. About like all like the politicians getting it, and I understand that like it's about
it's PR, saying,
it's PR, and it's, you have faith, and you're like, I get it, but if like we start seeing like blatant classism on that, and you're like, start to be like, I mean, why did like, you know what I mean? Like if like celebrities start getting it, you're like, okay, you know,
I bet that happens.
Yeah.
I mean, they're already filming.
Well,
they have rapid tests.
That happened, remember,
filming.
When the Denver Nuggets like got all tested and they had just bought it back when tests were hard to get. And we're like, oh, so like money just means you live in a different reality, huh? Like things don't apply to you. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, well, I'll just pay for that. Anyways, we're supposed to be talking about holiday traditions here.
I know,
but
we're off.
But what happened was, and I think people probably relate to this, is, you know, everybody's pent up. And we had to buy a new trampoline, and because the old one was, every once in a while, it was just a spring would fly off. And so we...
you hit the floor.
You and I, you and I have been Frankensteining this trampoline and just putting various parts together for years.
Yes.
And finally, I said to you, I don't remember what part it was, but there was one that I was just like, hey, I think we should just... No, you got something that didn't fit, or
bought a new like bed to it,
a new net,
and then the new pad that goes around it,
right?
And neither of them fit, and we were like, okay, let's return.
Let's just get a brand new one
because like literally the same price.
There, it's exactly, and so we built that in two times because you know we built the normal trampoline itself, you know, with all the springs and stuff, and it, when you and I are fairly quick at that because we've assembled some trampolines in our days, though it was overwhelming at times. But then we're like, hey, we're gonna wait because it's dark. We're gonna put the net up.
Yeah, it gets dark at like 5.
For me and you, who are not particularly handy, but you know, we didn't fight. That was nice. Nobody got hit in the head by a bar. That was good. So, but there was a day where our trampoline didn't have the net, which is what we're used to, but not what our kids are used to.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't feel comfortable about this. Mm-hmm. And it's next to like our shed, and our son jumped off the shed onto the trampoline multiple times, which I didn't even blame him for. I just told him to stop. And then we put up the net.
Yesterday.
And I walked out today. He had it was very unlucky for him, but very just. And I saw him jumping off the shed over the net onto the trampoline.
Didn't he flip too?
And then do a flip once he landed.
Okay, so he didn't flip off.
No, he did not flip off. Yeah.
Yeah.
Terrifying though. And I explained to him, like, your feet get tangled in that thing. It's like an 8-foot drop out of control. Onto springs, a bar. It's hard to say, but he was like, it was nice. It was nice to like feel the adrenaline, and I was like, I get it, buddy. But I think you were gonna say in there caveats to what we were talking about was like, if we were gonna take our kids skiing and snowboarding, or if we were like on the trampoline, you're like, yo, you don't want to go to the ER right now.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, they're. It's a little bit of like a caged animal.
Yes.
Kind of scenario. Mm-hmm. Of course, he still skateboards several times a day. And that around our neighborhood is a solo activity.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
Broke his phone.
Yeah, he fell on his phone. So that's gone.
It's been 3/4 of a year of this at this point, you know?
I know.
And so I think they're just like
like, well, and kind of our bubble too. We were like, oh, we got a bubble.
Yeah.
You know, but then you're like, yeah, our bubble might have had an exposure.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like maybe we should tighten it a little bit. I don't know.
That being said, we still have pulled off a few of our normal traditions. Big Bear's out, which is okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's disappointing we haven't told the girls yet. Yeah. But we got our meats.
We did.
We got our meats.
We have our meats.
You have been rabid cleaning.
Yep.
That's the tradition.
Mm-hmm.
The next, starting Wednesday, so the 2 days before.
Yeah.
You don't cook meals.
No, that's my favorite part.
We do two nights out.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Get takeout.
Mm-hmm. Which will be, that will be our entire stimulus check.
Yes.
No, it's, I think the kids look forward to that, and I know Grandpa does.
Oh yeah, we don't really eat out unless we're traveling.
Right.
Yeah.
Did your family? Mm-hmm. You guys did. You had a Christmas Eve one.
Yeah, we did.
This was a big Hoagland Christmas Eve.
The kids made this one.
Yes.
Because me being one of the kids, we moved all the time, and one year. You know, we went to the one restaurant open on Christmas Eve, which was like a Japanese steakhouse.
Always the Japanese steakhouse.
Where they chop it up and put it on the grill, fire.
Yes.
You know?
Amazing.
So,
it's not unlike A Christmas Story, right? Because it was the one place that was open. And then you see that scene now and you're like, that was racist. And
it did not age well.
No.
Yeah. Just turn off the movie a little early.
Yeah. You don't want your kids singing that around the house.
Oh gosh, no, not the 13-year-old. Yeah, it'll never get out of his head. Yes, we've kind of forced our parents. We're like, no, that's our tradition now. You know, we'd go to the Japanese steakhouse the night before Christmas, which was super
also
fun.
Also called Christmas Eve.
Right. And usually we do lights. You know, our churches would have, you know, a Christmas Eve
service.
You know,
of
usually
some type,
just caroling with a... maybe a candle.
One of the best services of the year, actually. I really a big fan of the Christmas Eve service because it's Christmas songs and it's song heavy.
Yeah.
And sermon light.
Sermon light. And usually there's a couple more people there, you know, like home from college.
Yeah.
Couple extended family.
Couple old haunts.
Old haunts.
Maybe an old fling or two.
Yeah. And then we would look at Christmas lights. And we also did this. The kids made this up because we moved all the time. 12 days of Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
There were 6 Hoaglands.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone got 2 days. And you had to be prepared to say something unique that fit into your day at Christmas when it was your turn.
It was a custom Christmas song, right?
Yep. So like on the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me. Even better if it was applicable to the year. You know, but I think my sister, the youngest, went first, Sarah, and it was one great big happy family or something, right? For the first day. She often did that one.
Yes.
Because then she has to say that like 12 times.
Very.
You know, as we go up. Yeah.
That's, and this was like a thing that everybody was on board with.
This
it.
Is
That's
a law,
one thing that I've always noticed
law.
About Hoaglands is like, you know, they, there was a, for lack, what are we, like a good participation.
Well, because we made it up.
Right. That was our
own
thing.
Yeah, the kids did. And my mom always got 5 golden rings, you know, and that's like, that's a solo.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so we always made her, mom, sing it right.
Do you remember? I remember because I got roped into this and then it became a couple's thing.
Uh-huh.
And then
mine got way better when you got involved.
Well, they got funnier.
Yeah.
And there'd be one, they'd be like, they would also like, you would just have more, because they had to be very personal. So they'd be like, you know, like 2 happy grandkids or something. And they'd be like, what? You know, or you're like, oh, that's really, and then you get to the people that didn't have kids yet. And they'd be like, you know, something about finals
or
something.
Job.
Yeah, that that was, so Christmas Eve was huge for you guys and that, because it was the lights and the meal and the song. Bang, bang, bang.
Mm-hmm. And then usually like some sort of Christmas Eve service.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's great. And then for meal, Seahawk would do the salmon. Seahawk salmon.
Yeah, usually. Yep.
Specialty. Grandma Charlene crushes it with the salmon.
And I mean, we're our family was just not super big gift givers.
No.
And now,
no, your dad would always...
with like a caveat because, like, you know, my dad was an electrical engineer. Like, so I don't, you know, not everyone,
money thing. No,
everyone, yeah. You know, we were privileged.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But we spent money on, you know, like homes and that in college, you know, like we were, my parents were very frugal the rest of the year. I don't know if that makes sense, or maybe eating out, you know, but like, you know, gifts were not our thing.
No.
I did get like an American Girl doll. That's big.
Yeah.
Little girl flex, you know.
Huge.
In first grade.
Your dad would always buy himself a pair of shoes that I think he would,
running
shoes. He would wrap.
Yes.
Yes.
He'd wrap his own running shoes. I, you know, and then trying to think, I wanted Doc Martens in eighth grade.
That,
you know, it's like $100 pair of boots.
Right.
They're back. They're popular again. And my parents were like, yeah, you're not getting those. But I had babysitting money, so I just bought them myself.
Right.
You know, but they just wouldn't.
Yeah.
They were just like designer shoes. No.
It is interesting how sometimes like the kids like maybe shake down like the love language thing from their parents because no one in your family is a gift giver.
No.
And everyone in my family is a gift giver.
Mm-hmm.
And a few of them are gift receivers.
Can I say one more thing?
Yes.
Okay. So I did a lot of homemade gifts. I would cross stitch. My friends in Texas still have ornaments that I cross stitched them.
Amazing.
In like fifth, sixth grade.
You little wonder girl.
And
just
also
stitching it up.
Yeah.
Life's a stitch.
This is just one of those. I already told you guys about the song I wrote, my family.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, also, I got a recipe for a salto ornament, which is like the most basic.
It's just
made of salt.
Okay.
Basically, and flour.
It's
a salto. It's just like a really basic ornament.
Okay.
You've seen them.
Uh-huh.
Okay? So I thought,
because
I used to go to like craft fairs with my mom.
The way you make that ornament, I believe, I've never done it, is if you're running away from a city and you turn back. And I think
pillar of salt.
I think that's how you make that one. No? Stupid.
Well, okay, you ready?
I'm ready.
So I would go to craft fairs with my mom. I was very crafty.
Mm-hmm.
Texas craft fairs.
It was still very crafty.
Just all sunflowers and like light blue, you know, silver jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
That was the 90s.
Great.
So
In Texas.
So I made my mom potpourri salt dough pies.
Oh my gosh.
And I would do it when she would like be gone
at
night.
How old are you at this time? In your life?
I'm like fourth, fifth grade.
Amazing.
So it was a surprise gift. My mom was like, I was wondering where all the salt was. My dad was like, yeah, whatever. You can do that. So I didn't have a recipe. I had the salt dough ornament recipe.
Right.
And I made a pie out of the salt dough stuff. And then I put potpourri in the middle and I baked them in the oven.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
How'd this turn out?
I mean, I thought it was great.
Yeah, I'm sure, but because...
My mom would have been like, what in the world?
But I was going to say, because your family... how old were you? Gloria's age?
Yeah.
Remember,
I made my American Girl doll overalls. Like with fabric.
I remember. I mean, wasn't there, but I've heard the tales.
Yeah, this is just how I roll.
This was your world. You had the biggest bangs in the world and some downtime.
A lot of downtime,
because you guys were constantly moving, and you didn't necessarily have a big friend group at always. And you, but let me ask you this: because your family is not big gift givers, was it kind of met with like, "Oh, no, thanks, Melissa," or was it like, because when somebody does an elaborate thing, you kind of need to gush, otherwise they feel like, "Oh, well, that was a waste."
Yeah.
How was that received?
See, and we weren't gushers.
Exactly,
we aren't gushers.
Are not gushers.
No. So I don't know if I really expected.
I'm a gusher.
Yeah.
Like in the fruit snack world, you're the Welch's and I'm the gusher when it comes to gift giving.
Yes. So I mean, now as a mom, I'm like, wow, that was a lot of time.
Also, if Gloria touched the oven, you would lose your mind. That's a difference. There's no trust with us in the oven with our children. But you, I mean, you probably knew how to use that thing better than anyone else in the house. It was a dream come true for you to get to use the oven.
I know.
Finally.
Well, I used to use the oven for stamping.
I'm sorry. That doesn't even make sense to me.
I used to emboss over our stove.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Who were you as a little child?
So that was some of my big gifts.
Those were some of the big gifts. And, yeah. But that's the thing. So my family was go hard on gifts.
Yes.
And we had way less money than you guys. And so my dad just was running it in the red.
And well, he just loved it. It was the whole presentation.
We would get like TVs, and I remember getting a huge stereo one year. And I remember, you know, we would get video game systems and new pair of rollerblades. Like we would get big stuff and small stuff. And we would just have a lot of gifts, you know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because what I don't really ever remember was telling my dad what I wanted for Christmas.
Yeah.
He would just kind of do like the old school thing where he would just go to the mall and just be like, oh, I bet my kids would like that.
Yeah. No, we didn't do lists. Yeah. There was no clear expectations. Yeah. You didn't really know what you were going to get.
Yeah, we've kind of brought this a little more into what we've learned in our marriage to our kids, which is like, this is all about managing expectations, which mm-hmm. to kind of bring up to now, like that's, we would do that. And so we would be very surprised on Christmas morning. And there would, every once in a while, there would be a thing that was pretty expensive that you're like, ugh, that was a misread, Dad.
I'm just not going to really use it.
You shouldn't have got me that, but mm-hmm. you would be nice. And then you would crumple up your wrapping paper, and then you would shoot it into the fireplace. Mm-hmm. And then you would burn it all later. And we would do one at a time.
We didn't do that.
No, too much fun. We would do one gift at a time.
We had a fake fireplace.
Our kids have been trying to not do one gift at a time. Each year they're like, can we just open? No. It's otherwise it's over in 30 seconds.
Yeah.
We've got to milk this with our coffee and a little LaCroix in the coffee. And we got to milk this for a while and, you know, kind of enjoy it. And let us enjoy seeing you open because, when Christmas without little kids is just weird. When it's a bunch of adults getting together and
it's just gift cards.
Or
you're like, buy your own stuff.
Buy your own stuff. Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
I have a bunch of siblings, and for a while we would do like one gift. You pick a sibling,
uh-huh.
you know, so you get one gift, and there's four siblings.
Right.
And then one year we like bought a cow or something, you know, like those, you know how
a
you
cow?
Can. Yeah, like there's all those programs where you can just buy like a family
in need, I see.
You know, like overseas. I know, that's kind of weird.
No, that's, I wasn't familiar with those programs.
Yeah,
but yes.
We've done some stuff like that, but now we are just like, hey, here's our Christmas card.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Well, I don't think.
We'll give you a call.
Yeah, I mean, Jess sent something to us, my sister, and I was like, well, did we need to send something there? You know, there's sometimes with adult siblings, there's that. You know, what's the one thing now that we have is, you have to realize as an adult and as little small business owners, we have to consider which like professional relationships get gifts.
Yeah.
Like, because mm-hmm. when you're somebody's boss, I remember that being at the rec center. Mm-hmm. It was like every once in a while I would get a gift and I'd be like, oh, that's nice. Like from my bosses. But then I was like, am I supposed to give, I have like 30 employees.
Yeah.
I don't remember if I did get them stuff.
You didn't, but
I think the leads I did every once in a while, I got them a little something.
You had a pretty tight budget there at the nonprofit
rec
center.
People weren't they weren't, but now we have various we have two different agents to send gifts to, which we did. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a couple of 1099s. One Stephen English might have something coming. No? But he gets
us
something too,
because he listens to this.
He does listen. He doesn't listen to this. The episodes that we do, he just hits publish. So but I will say that, like, you know, I think in creating our own, and this is what I would recommend to people, is you just kind of grab your favorite parts of yours, your favorite parts mm-hmm. of yours, and you just create that. And you hope that your kids do the same. You know, we have similar snacks. Our family, every year, our kids say that it's a tradition to open things on Christmas Eve, one on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
Every year, you and I debate this.
Yeah.
That's never been a tradition in our household. And every year,
usually I end up letting them open like a game or
like
something.
A family gift, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the one that Aunt Jess got
or
us,
like
right?
An activity. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like a little craft or something.
I think this is
a good we used to open a mall on Christmas Eve sometimes.
No. I was at
your house, Jess and Don.
It was because we had shared custody. And we had to go be with the other family member the next day. That's the only time that we would do that, you know? But what I was going to say was my nature is to wait till it all at once.
The anticipation.
Not unlike gigs when they're like, here's your deposit. And I'm like, I don't want the deposit. I want all the money at one time.
You want to earn it.
I like a big lump sum.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not how business is done. And my agents are always like, we don't do this. By my agents, I mean, I have a guy named Kevin. not exactly a big flex there. Kevin's great, though. But yeah, it's that's a thing that I understand that people do that. But I'm just like the kids. I'm like, you guys, you've made it this far.
I know. And then they also start changing their list.
Oh, that's like a big thing. Right.
The
now.
The last month. They're like, well, actually, I was really into The Office, but now I'm more into Stranger Things.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
And you're like,
yeah, Gloria's been bringing that up a lot.
Let Santa know, but it's too late.
Yeah. Santa's, he can't improv that fast. Remember,
like, those squishy things?
No.
At school got really popular for the kids. And
Yeah.
3 days before Christmas, I got on Amazon and got the squishies. I mean, yeah. It's just a little fad, you know, toy.
Right. Well, one thing that we've been working on is, and as parents, is setting expectations for big and small gifts. Like, our son has been wanting an Xbox, which is impossible to get right now. I've struck out.
The Xbox X.
Xbox Series X. I mean, even if you want the S. Those are PS5s. They sell out instantly. They sell out in seconds. I get notifications on my phone. I have Amazon, Best Buy, Microsoft, all of
Costco,
them.
Costco.
Whatever. Yeah. We've struck out on all of them over. And we've kind of tempered expectations. We're like, hey, man, you're going to get this in May for your birthday, probably. But then he came out and we're like, maybe you need a new skateboard. And he's like, well, can I get two skateboards? And it's when a kid says they want two skateboards that you want to say you're getting zero skateboards.
Well, because we kind of had this conversation about, you know, video game systems.
Right.
And that's a bigger gift.
It's
that
a
you're
huge
maybe
gift.
Every couple of years.
Maybe.
That maybe. He got maybe. A lot of times kids have to go in half on it.
He,
you know, like.
He got his Switch 3 years ago.
It's been a while.
And Gloria got hers last year, so she knows it's a smaller Christmas. Mm-hmm. And Claire, if she's not on the naughty list, gets hers this year.
But
that means you're not getting another big thing for a birthday or Christmas for like 3 years.
Yeah, you do not, you know, not every kid gets $500 a year.
Yeah. That's, no, Joel, you know? When Joel gets his Xbox, his next big gift will be when he's 16 and it's his phone.
Car.
I'm not getting him a car. He can drive ours on occasion.
Oh, yeah.
Like, bro, you live a mile from your school.
I'm totally joking.
You can skateboard to school. Well, we have some emails to get to. Let's get to some emails. We're backlogged on emails.
I was going to tell you.
Go ahead.
Well, I probably already shared it like on one of the COVID,
COVID
episodes, but the best gift you ever gave me was when you surprise decorated the house with Christmas lights.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. Well. And now I do it, you know, every year and it gets, and now you're more, it's changed a little bit because now you're like, there's enough.
Yeah.
You have enough.
You're like, leave them on all night. And I'm like, but the timer will turn them off.
Yes. I was like, but we bought that Baby Yoda and, you know, it's, who knows if it's going to work next year or if it's even going to be relevant or if that's the show I'm going to be into next year. I might have a new one.
We've got the Abominable Snowman.
Abby's from, big. Yeah, you let us put Abby outside now, which is nice.
Yeah, at first I thought
Abby's nice. You know, Abby.
I thought she might get, you know, stolen or.
Our neighborhood's gotten a little nicer since we first got it.
Yeah, the homeless moved to a different area.
I would love to hear about.
Baseball field.
I would love to hear about your guys' COVID Christmas and what you're doing and how you're adjusting and maybe how you're setting expectations or maybe how you've needed to communicate any disappointment to your children over lack of travel or change of rules or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, because by the time, you know, you guys are listening to this and another one will have happened, send us, you know, maybe what your plans are or how things are going or how your Christmas break is going. We're on Christmas break now. which is amazing because it feels like a break for us now. It didn't used to, but now it feels like a break for us. So shoot us some emails at don'tmakemecomebackthrough@gmail.com. And then we're going to do some emails. These are some previous ones that we had requested emails from. So I think we got like five of these. First one right here is from Amanda, and the subject is birthday candle mishap. Hi, Dustin and Melissa. My parents weren't big on throwing birthday parties when we were little. Luckily, there were four of us kids, so we are a party.
That's a, yep, exactly. That's a party.
On my sister's birthday one year, unbeknownst to us, she had strep throat.
Oh, baby.
We were all given strep as a favor when she blew her germs over the cake. Luckily, because of COVID, no other family member should have to go through this since blowing out candles has been canceled. Keep us laughing, Amanda. Yes. Amanda, thank you for the email. That's hilarious. This is from Tiffany. We know Tiffany. The subject, bad parenting advice request. Good, we haven't had one of these in a while. Okay. Hi, Dustin and Melissa. We have two boys, age 9 and almost 6. I do laundry about every other week for the kids. Last night, I folded easily 12 to 15 pairs of pants and shorts, countless socks and some shirts. I found no underpants in the entire pile for my 9-year-old. This is like Jeff Allen has a joke. He goes, I sent my kids to my boys. I sent my boys to summer camp. 90 degrees, sweating every day, temperatures, you know, moist. And goes,
humidity.
High humidity. He goes, my wife sent them with 7 clean pairs of underwear. They came home with 6 clean pairs of underwear.
Yeah. All folded.
And he goes, did you shower? He goes, we didn't shower any of the days. We swam every day. And he goes, anyway, so if he's changing them and I can't find them, how should I ask them where they are going? Do we have underpant gnomes in Minnesota? If he's not changing them, how could I encourage him or just scare him straight so he starts to do it more often than every 2 weeks? Thanks from the backseat, Tiffany. Your kid's not changing their drawers enough. What? Or so seemingly, they're not changing their drawers enough. I said to my daughter earlier this week, as she dolled up and put a very fancy outfit on, but had not had good dental hygiene, I said, nobody cares what you're wearing if your breath stinks. And I would say the same thing applies to clean drawers. Nobody cares anything about you if you have dirty underwear. They don't care about your athletic achievements, your grades, your fashion, your personality,
your hair,
the way you look. if you're rocking around with dirty underwear, it's over. It's game over. Nothing else matters. You start,
it's so uncomfortable too.
Dirty underwear is so itchy. Dirty underwear is the foundation of or clean underwear is the foundation of what you build your life on. You understand? It's, you start there and you make your way up. You don't even have to shower every day. It's more important to change your underwear than to shower every day. You can't. I would start there and I would hit the shame very hard. I maybe you know what,
like even the dog changes his underwear.
The dog in its own version, yes. What I would say is you're gonna need to consider some options of public humiliation. So when you do find this one dirty pair, it's hung up with the Christmas lights with his name.
I never change these undies.
Yes.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
I wore these undies for 2 weeks.
Perhaps you give it to the pastor for a metaphor, like a sermon analogy.
Yes. There are some of those about, you know,
how
Bible
we need
verses.
About how we need to be made clean and that this is... I'm just, you know, free falling on. This is God's problem.
To quote your act.
Tiffany, my thoughts and prayers with you. But I would lean towards public humiliation.
Always.
Shame and public humiliation. All right, next one.
This is from permanent damage.
What could go wrong? All right, this one's from Bonnie. Hello, Nickerson.
Hey, Bonnie.
This one is, subject is birthday parties and life goals. Never have I felt so seen and understood when Melissa said, I'm not really trying to peak in life. I resonate with this so much that was said and shared, but that was certainly a hilarious and validating moment. What was that? What was the context of that?
Well, we were talking about high school.
Oh, yeah, about high school. That's right.
I can't remember entirely.
Birthday parties. Number one, you brought up hiring clowns. Do party fairies count? From the age of 18 to 22, my summer job was to dress up as a fairy, wings and all, and guide little girls through a variety of fairy activities.
Oh, man.
Sounds ridiculous, but it paid really well and was booked every weekend from Memorial Day through the end of August. So at least in the early 2000s, it was a thing. That's great. Good work if you can get it. Number two, as a parent, we are typically trip takers. We had parties and friends and families for birthdays 1 to 5, but after that, we opted to take family trips. Typically, my son's birthday, we go to your favorite, most overrated place, Disneyland, and my daughter usually has to go to Great Wolf Lodge, which works out because her birthday is in their off season. My daughter got her trip in this year before the pandemic affected us being a February birthday, but my son ended up not being so lucky. We also lost a trip to Great Wolf Lodge, which means Melissa lost the chance to get a UTI.
Again.
Yeah, you're just sitting there waiting in the kids' pool.
Yeah, you're like,
Oh, Bonnie. Well, you know, Bonnie, full disclosure, you know, 2020 has been a hard year for us in a lot of various ways. And so if you still have your contact for the party fairy job, please send them my way. I'm looking for any work I can get right now. All right. This one is from Rebecca. And newborns and COVID Thanksgiving is the subject. Mm. Hey, guys. I'm listening to your Thanksgiving podcast while I'm up feeding my four-month-old. Oh, God bless. In the middle of the night. It feels like the Venn diagram of the last 10 minutes of your podcast over here. Not enjoying taking care of babies and honestly Thanksgiving. This year was the best Thanksgiving ever, though. We didn't have to go see anyone, and we had steak for dinner. The entire meal prep and cook took about 30 minutes total, and the kid who is not sucking the life out of my body for sustenance actually enjoyed the meal. Why would I ever suffer through dry bird meat anywhere else ever again? Why did it take a pandemic to make the adult decision to tap out of the traditions I've loathed since I was even a kid? And my mom keeps telling me I ruined even last year as a 34-year-old. Yikes. Thanks for giving a name to what we stumbled onto accidentally this year. Honest Thanksgiving forever. I love it. I love Honest Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Rebecca, this is a great email. Steak
is great.
You ruined the traditions.
Oh, man.
Thank you, Rebecca. Thank you for being a good backseater. That's it, guys. Thank you for the emails.
Yeah.
We appreciate you all so much. A big shout out to our patrons. Fun rework the Patreon. If you're already a patron, it's going to get a lot better in the next. We got some cool stuff rolling out.
Yeah.
It might be a monthly party. We will see. Everybody, thank you so much for listening. And
happy holidays.
Happy holidays. All right, everybody. Thanks.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to that episode, everybody. I wanted to give a special shout out to our designated drivers. That is our highest level of patrons. Demarius Diaz-Stevens, Troy Meacham, Dave Hoagland, and Rachel Jakewith. Really appreciate your support of the podcast. If you have not already, please like and subscribe and share. Backseaters, you mean the world to us. Thanks so much for tuning in.